Have them say this together out loud twice. Blessed am I because my eyes do see and my ears do hear. I anticipate God's revelation in my life. Blessed am I because my eyes do see and my ears do hear. I anticipate God's revelation in my life.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see, one, abiding in the light equals abiding in Him. In our very first teachings on abiding in the vine, I brought up this verse. It's John 12:46. I have come as a light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not abide in darkness. Not abiding in darkness is the same thing as abiding in the light or abiding in Him. 1 John tells us God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Our verse in John 12:46, however, tells us that the purpose of Christ coming as a light unto the world was so that upon seeing the light we may believe and as a result no longer abide in darkness, or so that we would abide in the light in Him. When this verse says believe, it can mean believe unto Him for eternal salvation, but it can also mean to place all of our relational trust in Him, in our every moment as believers. Discuss how believing in Christ and placing the whole of our relational trust in Him in our every moment is the same thing as both abiding in Him and abiding in the light. He says, so often Christians approach abiding in the vine as something we do automatically, since we are already in Him. However, the abiding this verse is talking about is not one of position, like the fact that the branch is connected to the vine, but one of interaction, where the branch is completely dependent upon the vine and draws all of its life from the source alone.
Mm-hmm. See, when I don't know, maybe it's just me, but being Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
No, I mean, we were grafted in. We were mm-hmm. adopted into the family. So at one point in time, we were not abiding in the vine
right.
until we got saved. Well, if you ever graft one plant to another plant,
mm-hmm.
you actually take a slice of this and a slice of that, and you put them together,
mm-hmm.
and you wind them up really tight, and then the branch is going to get nourishment from
the stock.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the way I look at abiding in the vine. So I don't take it as a, you know, okay, we're automatically part of the plants. This is just me personally.
Well, make sense. Mm-hmm. But with it being grafted on, it is part of the plant.
It is, and actually it can become very, very strong in that
right.
in that place.
But whether it becomes strong or not has to do with the branch. If the branch rejects it, it's going to wither up and die. It's not going to produce good fruit.
Well, yeah, it's how strong are you grafted into the vine?
It's how much are you drawing from the source?
Exactly.
If you don't draw from the source, you're not going to grow. So,
I think the one thing that has hindered the faith movement is the fact that we tend to take the the nutrients and call them our own and say, God's given me this, and we live out of this giftedness, and we live out of the things that we can do. And that's not really right. It's what he does in us. It's not our ability at all, but what he affects in us, the effectual working of his grace, right?
Through us.
Through us, yes. Right. So it's actually that bears the fruit, not us. So if we're just, I think I mentioned that the spoon. We're just a spoon,
mm-hmm.
bringing the food from over here to here, and it produces.
But the spoon has to allow it.
Yeah, the spoon has to, we have right. to cooperate with the Lord. So it's like, we're not it.
Right.
We're the vessel.
Right, but like you're saying, okay, we are the branch, so we are drawing from God and allowing it to move through us to the branches and producing the fruit. But if we hinder that, we have the power to stop that from happening. We can stop God's influence on our lives and keep it from producing good fruit.
How are some of the ways that we hinder them?
Not listening to them. Disobedience.
But, you know, maybe we're taught something for a very long time, or we're...
Right, well, that's why we're here now, because we were taught things for a very long time, and this is teaching us that those bad things we are taught, we need to put them under and get them out of our way. Let them, you know... Realize that has no, you know, those bad influences in my life no longer, you know, affect my future.
Or the methods that we were doing it by.
Right.
It is, I think I was talking to Nancy. It's like some things, the truth, some of it was truth, but we can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right.
We have to take the truth of what was the underlying truth in a lot of that, and allow God to reveal it to us and make life. And that is the life and the light. This is the light that has come into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I love John, the first chapter. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
I really wish Stephanie was feeling good and was out here, because she asked me if I could tell her what I was teaching on. I said no. I said that, you know, Passion Works says this is, you know, supposed to be for my eyes only, and I'll be, you know, presenting it. And she's like, well, are we sticking with the vine? And I said, yeah. So then she's out there on her computer looking stuff up and asking me questions, you know, and like, she was reading someone's commentaries or something. And it said something along the lines of the verse where, you know, if we are abiding in him and he's abiding in us, then we can have whatever we ask. And she's like, is that true? And I was like, yes, but people get that messed up
right.
because they get hung up on, I get whatever I want.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, no, you don't get whatever
right.
you want. You only get whatever you want when you are abiding in him and he's abiding in you.
Right.
And he's like, just because you want $100 million doesn't mean you're going to get it.
He's like, well,
the reason why you want the $100 million is like, you're probably going to want it for your own selfish pleasures. And he's like, well, what if I wanted to give it all away? And I was like, well, why do you want to give it all away?
Right.
I was like, I want $100 million so I can give it to this charity. But why are you giving it to the charity? So they can look at you, hey, this great guy gave $100 million and boast you up. He's like, he won't allow that to happen. And he's like, and what is that charity going to do with it? Put it, you know, spend 98% of it on commercials? He's like, you know, you got to recognize God sees everything. He's not going to throw stuff away.
Right. So God would rather it be reconciliation of the heart.
Right.
That's the first and foremost thing.
He checks your motives and
reliance on
and
him.
Everything.
God may want to get their prayers answered in another way that mm-hmm. will benefit them, reconcile them to Him, not you meet their need.
Well, I mean, let's face it, for many years, we, along with thousands of other Christians around the world, will grab a scripture and say, well, you know, God said this, and we're standing on we're standing on that scripture.
Right, exactly.
But it's like, God will give you the desires of your heart. Right. Well, yeah, back up and read the verse before.
Right.
Delight yourself in the Lord at all times, and God will give you the desires of your heart.
Oh, but I delight in you, Lord. I'm so happy
with you.
But
your desires becomes His desire,
too. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is he saying that you're...
I think if you spend more time with the Lord and you're abiding in Him, then
but His desire becomes your desire.
Your desire.
But what I'm saying is the desire...
gotcha.
But what I'm saying is, you know, you have a desire in your heart. Is He going to give you what is in your heart that you desire? Or is He going to put a desire inside your heart?
Yeah,
a desire to seek Him more, a desire to thirst, a desire to be charitable and giving and flow in your gifts better? Or is He going to be, you know, looking at what you're, you know, I want $100 million, that's my heart's desire. You know, is He going to give me that? No, He's going to give me, He's going to give me a desire to, you know, want to, you know, His desire. He's going to put His desire in my heart.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
One thing I think God knows is the human weakness that we have to get misled, the deceitfulness of riches. He calls it the deceitfulness of riches. Mm-hmm. Whatever that riches could be in, it could be in cornflakes, I don't care. You know, it's just whatever we're...
Whatever you see as valuable.
Yeah, valuable. We tend to look at that as... At defining us, or defining God, or defining, you know, our church or our pastor or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. we look at all these other mega churches and says, oh gosh, we're so small. That does not move me in the least. Mm-hmm. To me, the Word is going forth so much in power here, mm-hmm. and we're so tiny. And to me, this is how God does it. It's in the mundane,
like
in the obscure, that I tell you, when He gave me that, it's like,
well, it's, you know, I mean, look what He did with 12. But out of those 12, I mean, there was, or the big 12, but there were many, 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 many other disciples.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Bible concentrates on those 12.
Yeah. Right? Well, look what He did in the stable. Yeah. In an obscure, nowhere, no one knew. I mean, the shepherds wouldn't have known if the angels, and it's like, Where were the people on the housetops in Jerusalem and Bethlehem? They didn't see any of the angels, or they'd have been down there too. He only revealed Himself to these shepherds, you know? And it's like, in the obscure and the mundane, God does His greatest work because it's quiet, it's hidden, and He wants us to. I love. You got to love games. The mystery games where you have to find and search and love those kind of games.
Well, yes. Like the verse that says that God hid Himself in the things He made. He's like, not that He was hard to find.
Yeah. Mm. So that we may grow for Him.
Yeah.
And
we can
easily find Him. Yeah.
We can seek Him and long for Him.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just look at anything in nature.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I mean, a leaf. You know, a simple leaf.
Yeah.
Remember a sunset, sunrise. Mm-hmm. There's a cloud formation.
I don't remember who it was, but there's someone that went to our church that they're, you know, they were doing a weekly family thing, and they would take, you know, one thing, like an animal, and look at it and try to see, you know, what we can learn about God from this animal.
Was that Tony?
I don't remember. No, those were years ago. So,
when
I was still in like youth group.
Oh, youth group. Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know, maybe it was Sean or, I don't know, somebody. Mm-hmm. It don't matter who it was, but I remember, you know, they were like, you know, consider let's think about the giraffe. What does the giraffe say about,
God.
You know, moving to different animals and different things. I guess they saw that consistently.
For some reason, the dross, you know, the fire burning the dross out of us, then we become more like him. So we become...
Right. But see, we think we could become more like him and act like him. But even Jesus didn't do anything even up in and of himself. He emptied himself so his Father could work. He said, when you see me work, you see my Father work.
Well, right. Yeah.
So everything is about the Father.
Yeah.
It's not about us.
But we become a light. I mean, more of a
light. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. But the thing is, it's his light. We're nothing.
Absolutely.
Here. And John.
But I'm just saying, the more of we empty of ourselves and, you know, ask for forgiveness and cleanse ourselves of whatever and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, then we become more like him. And so we're able to shine for him.
The better we get to know him,
the
more we become like him.
It's like. But we have to get rid of that hardness in our hearts, I think, and everything.
But we can't even do that.
That
takes the Holy Spirit.
That's what I was saying.
Let me see if I can put it in
perspective.
Every day. Okay, take for example, Virginia and I. Okay? We're each individual people, we have individual personalities. But the more we hang out with each other, the more we become alike.
Yeah,
right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But unfortunately, we pick up good habits from each other and not the bad ones.
And you know what? We're like a mirror to one another. And that's what I like.
In some ways, we are so identical.
Yeah.
But the way we communicate is entirely different. And that's why so many people think that Virginia and I get into it. That's not at all.
No.
You know, and I've had people from church actually come up to me and say, "Are you guys okay?" Sounded like, especially when we were in groups.
Yeah.
You know, somebody from the other group was like, "Man, you and Virginia were getting at it." Like, you know, and they think it's a big problem. It's not a big problem.
Yeah.
It's just the debate thing. And 99% of the time, we mean the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She just comes at it from a different angle than I do.
Right. Well, that's the thing, because then you see, after arguing it out, you realize that you guys are in agreement, and you get to walk away with a new way of looking at what you already knew was true.
Yeah. Well, it's like last Wednesday, you know? All the debate over what we were talking about, and then you send Stephen a text the next morning.
Stephanie
a text the next morning, which is spot on exactly what Stephen was saying all night.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't. It didn't come that way. It was going everywhere else, and God just went, "Bang, Jenny, this is how you see it."
I say, "Good morning. You hear me now?"
Right.
"Can you hear me now?"
"Can you hear me now?" That's exactly.
But I mean, the more you build a relationship with somebody, the more you become like that person.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, we become more like Christ as the Holy Spirit fire, and that burns the dross out of us and gives us a willing. We humble our hearts.
Mm-hmm. We change
to want to receive.
We get rid of our bad and take in His good.
Yeah.
All right, let me read the next part.
Sure.
Okay, abiding in the light is to abide in an ever-increasing relationship of knowing and trusting Him. The light is an expression for immediate and increasing understanding. It means to know Him by way of experience in the now. It says, this is not knowledge of the past, like a memory. It is living and vital, just like a branch with a vine. So, basically saying, we need to, like, you can, walking in the light is something that we do now, and we shouldn't keep meditating on what has happened, but what is happening.
Right. What am I hearing now? What is he revealing to us now?
It's like, what does it say? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is
growing.
Tomorrow is a mystery. All we have is the present.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yeah. All we have is the now, which is why it's called the present.
Yeah.
What Vivian was saying, all things are made by him, without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And Mark brought that, the life was revelation. This is eternal life, that you may know the Father and know me, Jesus Christ whom he has sent. So the life was the revelation knowledge, and that life, that revelation knowledge, illumined every man that came into the world. That's what it says. Who's not a light, bear witness. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as did receive him, gave them the power to become sons of men.
There's only two things that Jesus was really astonished by.
Faith.
And the lack of faith.
Faith and the lack of faith, that's exactly. Yeah,
he came to his people, and he was astonished of how these people can't know me.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you not know me?
Right.
It's like, I don't understand this. You have my word, right, and you know me not.
Right.
And then he goes to the Gentiles, heathens, barbarian people. These people never had my words. Why would they know me?
Yeah.
And they already are walking and talking and being...
Yeah.
You know, showing faith that you know, is so astonishing to him.
Yeah, like the centurion.
The centurion comes, my servant is sick. Okay, I will come and heal your servant. No. Just say the word. You know, I too am a man in authority, and I have people, or I tell people to go, and they go, and come, and they come. He's like, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh my God. How do you know this? It's like astonished by it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you like to just...
Wouldn't you like to be in there?
Wouldn't you just like to do something and have God say, have Jesus just looking down at you saying, dang, girl, I didn't know you could do that. You know, just surprise him somehow. Of course, nothing's going to surprise him. He already knows everything, but
right. Or he gives you an atta girl.
Mm-hmm.
That would be
nice. Yeah.
We can't really do anything within ourselves anyways. It's always the Holy Spirit.
I know, but it's like...
Yeah.
Well,
you got
dude.
It. Me, it's like, you got it,
job.
Finally.
Well, it's the do your job, you know.
Well, it's,
we're down here. Our job is to do our job to the best of our ability. We're going to mess it up. But as long as we're trying, we'll make him happy. You know, as long as we're every day we're trying, when we get to heaven,
thank
we'll
God
hear
for that.
The well done, my good and faithful servant.
That's like when we were going through that the Truth Project, you know? And then, it excited me so bad. I got everybody in church was laughing about it. But when Mark says, I think this is the first time I'd ever heard him say it, but he said it many, many times, you are no surprise to God.
Right.
You know, so Matt, no, you know, if you're going to fail at something and you can fail 5,000 times and you fail 10 times, and he's going to go, yay, we've only got 4,990 more times.
Thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that today, because I failed today.
And he cheers you on, even though, you know, we looked at it as a failure. He knows how long it's going to take us to get it right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that excited me that night. I was just, it still excites me.
Mm-hmm. And bringing that to the part where we're at now is, you know, when you do fail, and you will fail, he says, don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
Look at, you know, look as you know, I messed up. Let's move on. Yeah.
Well, I didn't dwell on it. It's just like, Lord, I don't believe it. I did it again. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just like an incident that I should have, you know. I know, you know, as we grow, you know, then our mind gets quicker, you know, to respond to things. Mm-hmm. But something had happened, and I was talking to somebody, and after I hung up, it's like, you know, I sense the Holy Spirit saying, you know, you could have said this, or, you know, not that you should have, but, you know, this would have been nice, or that would have been. I'm like, man, when, I always think of it later. I'm like, when am I going to stop failing this, Father? Because, you know, I want your word on the tip of my tongue, so that when things happen, you know, I can give you the glory right then and there, you know, not 10 minutes later. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things, where did I write it? Is it here? To be, stop being self-focused. What was that? Remember that when Mark said that? To do something, you had to stop being self-focused. Where is it? Okay, it's in here somewhere. All right, what do I do with it?
I don't know if it's a matter of being self-focused. It's just that, you know, you say something, and then later on you realize, you know, if you just said it this way, God would have gotten more glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I know when I talk to people, here it is. When being self-absorbed, that's it. When you're self-absorbed, and it's true. Sometimes when I'm listening to somebody, I get myself in the way, and I'm thinking of how I'm going to respond instead of just listening. The perfect example was with my niece, Mary Sue. That day, I was totally out of me, and it was God. She was asking all these questions. We were on the phone for almost 2 hours, and she was driving, and we were talking. Sometimes I'd lose her, and she'd call back. And it was like, picked up where we left off. I mean, it was just absolutely, and she had questions, some of them, there was no way I could answer them, because really nobody knew that until you have a relationship with the Lord. These things you
know.
Well,
I'm not talking about like when you're testifying or something. Right. The Holy Spirit's there to give you the words and things like that. Right. That I don't really have a problem with.
Right.
It's just a little quick responses, you know.
Yeah.
And then later on you realize, oh gosh, why didn't I,
yeah,
you know, say it this way?
Yeah.
Because Lord, you know.
Yeah.
Because everything's supposed to more or less focus on the Lord. So, you know, I want more of my conversations and my just daily talk to be where, you know,
it doesn't necessarily have to be his words flying out of your mouth all the time. Because the more you become like him, you're just going to automatically be like that.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I'm saying. I just kind of said,
the
Lord,
best
you know,
witness you can do is be. Just, you know, don't have to go and be a worker or a doer. You just need to be.
No, but, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But the thing, too, came to me, it may not have been for them. It may have been for you. Mm-hmm. What he gave you later, it may have been to reveal himself to Wei.
Well, no, because it would have just been a response to something. It wouldn't, I mean, it wasn't.
Well, I don't know.
It's hard to explain the situation.
I don't know, but when I'm talking to somebody and I'm ministering to somebody else, those words are bounced back at me. By the time I get off the phone, I'm like, I just preach to myself because,
you know. Oh, yeah. I think exactly, we've all been there, you know. But I just feel like, you know.
And then sometimes
I still need to grow.
Oh,
we all need to that point where. Yeah, we all have areas in our life. And as long as you're, you know, this is a whole relationship thing. If you continue walking in the relationship, you know, next time something like that comes, like when you're married or courting someone, you know, you don't have to, you know, think, you know what, I need to mention something to somebody. They're just automatic. They're always in your mind, and you're gonna keep bringing them up. It's like, it's no, you know, not going to be a surprise to anybody, because you're going to be all, hey, you know what? Me and my wife did this. Me and my wife did that. You know what my wife was talking about the other day? It's like, it's just going to constantly come up, because that's what's in your heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just going to flow out of you, and uncontrollably.
Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And that's why when we say something that's not so
nice. Well, it does speak. It just speaks too late.
Well, it shocks you sometimes, you know.
Well, that's when, you know, the one guy, you know, is like, you know, it's no longer I who sin, but the sin that still dwells within my flesh. Which is why we are constantly at war. We're constantly trying to put our flesh down and let, you know, let our spirit be in charge so we can walk, you know, smoothly. It's like, but our flesh is going to constantly come up, you know, someone cut you off in a freeway, your flesh is going to jump up and be like, get angry. We got to, you know, our mind needs to say, you know what, you need to stay down. You know, die daily to that. Well, you know, allow God to walk his love through you.
And he may say, for you to share, well, the Lord gave, like what happened to me. You know, the Lord gave me something that I could have stayed on topic later, and then I shared it. And God just, you know, corrected me and made it so much simpler for me. And here it is. And so maybe just the sharing that with you, it's like, you can share that with them and say, the Lord just revealed something to me that I can share with you.
Right. Well, it's more like, you know, like, let's say you bless somebody with something and they say, oh, thank you. That's so sweet. And you say, oh, you're welcome. You know, but to me, instead, that means I've accepted the glory. Oh, right. And I feel like, you know, I should say, oh, don't thank me, honey. Thank God, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had it to bless.
Yes, I'm doing this in Jesus'
name. Like, I was standing in the line at Wendy's, and there was a lady with a little kid, and the little kid wanted this and wanted what, and I heard Mommy say, we don't have enough money for that. Well, the Lord put it on me, and I handed her $5 bill, and I said, here, get her what he wants. She said, well, thank you, but the Lord told me to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've missed it too, though.
Yeah,
I try to. Yeah, I try. Or sometimes it's like a pen. I walk out of a store with their pen. I don't care if I am 10 miles down the road. I make myself go all the way back and bring it.
I walked out of a bank. I got 4 miles down the road and realized this is from the bank. Turned around, went back.
Yeah.
Walked in there, handed it back to them. They said, "We give those away. You could have kept it." I said, "Nope."
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I missed a thing of, I don't know, cinnamon or something that got down in the bottom of the cart that I didn't see. Mm-hmm. When I was putting the stuff in the car, I came across it, so I took it back in.
Right.
And I said, I need to pay for this. And they said, well, you just checked out. I said, yeah, but this didn't make it on the list. They said, you're serious? You're coming back in to pay? I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I said, that's theft. And I said, then, you know,
when I went and got my prescription, and she handed me $5 too much change.
Yeah.
And I said, didn't I give you a 20? She says, yep. Yeah. Oh, thank you. She realized she gave me $5 too much.
Yeah.
She was grateful, you know.
Well, that's because she probably getting in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
They checked their till.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're so much over, you're so much under, it's not good.
Yep.
That's actually illegal, but that's a story.
But I don't know, I guess I just feel like if we're grafted in and he's the light, then
you know, as we're growing and shining for him, I just feel like the response would be more quick, I guess.
I heard something today. Well, it's in the Sacred Romance that Stephanie just read Sunday. Mm-hmm. Oh, I went back and reread that chapter. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Mm-hmm. And he's talking, John, I guess it's John, he's talking about when things don't happen quickly and how we tend to get discouraged and lose hope, or, you know, we get off our trust, and God does it deliberately. Yeah, I was telling Shannon, because I wanted to go and see if she could massage me, and I was telling her about that thing I saw on TV about the bad ground and the grapes and how bad the ground was. It was just terrible ground. And she said, no, it's the best ground because the roots have to go deep. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, God doesn't necessarily put us in really pretty stuff. He didn't do that with the children of Israel. When he took them out of the world, he brought them to himself. It was in a desert. You know, he wanted to give them good land, but they weren't ready for it. And even when they finally got in the land, they still weren't ready for it. Look at all that they did wrong. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that I have to look at that. I said, God, you've got me right where, as difficult as sometimes it is, and sometimes I make the same mistakes over again, it's always to reconcile my heart to you. It's never to cause me to give up hope or to turn my back and say, I quit, you know. That's it. I'm not going any further. I've said that sometimes. That's it, God. If you don't get me there to this another dot, I ain't getting there. But after a while, I said, okay, God, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. They're my little temper tantrum, and then I say, I'm sorry, God. And I love that scripture in Psalms where David says, you know my uprising and my down sittings. he knows what makes my blood boil and knows what calms me down. I love that. So
thank you. Another thing?
Okay, yeah.
Here are a few verses for connective tissue. 1 John 1:7. But walk in the light as he himself is in the light. We have fellowship with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it says, remember that fellowship means co-partnership. We are lock-armed with him in the kingdom. Work for bearing fruit and encourage growth to others as we are walking, abiding in the light.
That's the point I was trying to get across.
Yeah. That was 1 John 1:7.
We need to invest in each other. And mm-hmm. I think we used to be pretty good at it, and then we got really sloppy at it. Mm-hmm. But I think it's come full circle again.
Yeah, we're getting there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and investing in the ones that are the most difficult to invest in.
Mm-hmm. I still have a hard time with that.
I know. It's an investing in that, because what we invest is ourselves and love and leave it there. Just put it out there and just love, and however they receive it, whatever they do with it, that's not my problem. Mm-hmm. It's just right. Love from a pure heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, finding the person with a rock hard, stony heart. And being the first person to knock a hammer against it and show that, you know, someone loves them. It's like they're gonna walk away, their heart's still gonna be hardened, but it's gonna have a little flaw in it for the next person. Mm-hmm. It's like that person may never, you know, end up in
right.
you know in the kingdom, but you know, God accounts for that one time. That you did that one good deed for him. like in that first effort, that first little crack is all, you know, could be all that it takes for it to break completely away and open his heart to God.
Yeah, but as you're doing, sorry, my butt's going to sleep. as you're doing things, you got to do it
willingly,
ungrudgingly,
freely.
Yeah, you have to do it fully, freely, and willing to let it go.
Well, yeah, you know, and a lot of times, you know, you get into something and you're like, oh, man, what the heck did I do? I get myself all tied up in this, you know. But you got to remind yourself, you know, that you're there for a reason, you know, and you're going through this for a reason. I mean, with, everything that's happened around us, you know, within the last couple months. It's not what I wanted to do with my day,
right,
to go and sit at hospice.
Right.
But I knew that that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Yeah. Was it for Don? No, not really so much. It was more for Donnie, for Lucy, for Rob, you know, Michelle, Carolyn, it was more for them.
Yeah.
Than anything else.
Yeah.
And it's not that I didn't do it. I didn't do a darn thing while I was there.
Right.
You know, except just be with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it meant the world to them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like I was telling Stephanie, she didn't want to go to the funeral because she didn't know, you know, Papa that well. I was like, well, a lot of people don't go to funerals for the dead.
Right.
It's like the dead's gone. He's already moved on.
Yeah.
People go to the funeral for support of the family and friends that are there that, you know, have lost.
Yeah.
And like, and people go there that have lost, and it gives them a chance to sit, you know, stop and grieve and let go. And like, that's the purpose of a funeral. It has nothing to do with the dead.
Well, it's like a guy that I went to high school with. We're on the reunion committee, and his mother passed away last month too. And I went to the visitation evening, and he was just flabbergasted, you know. And a lot of us, mostly us that are on the reunion committee, but a couple of other classmates came, and it meant so much to him, you know. Well, I've never met his mother. You know, but it just really, ministered to him.
You didn't go for his mother, went for him.
Right. His poor son got braces on the same day.
Oh.
Because his son got braces on the same day. He says, I'm probably one of the, I probably have the youngest child. Because his son is only 12 years old. He's 62.
I gotta sit on the edge.
Well, whatever makes you
living on the edge.
whatever makes you comfy.
Right.
Shall we read the next one?
Yes, please.
Okay, John 3:19-21. This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in God.
I think we see a lot of that today, especially, you know, politically.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some examples of how we do that in the church.
The light or the dark?
Read it again.
This is the condemnation, that the light has come into the dark, or come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light.
Okay. How do we love darkness?
well, we'd rather do something besides what's right.
Mm-hmm. Rather do our own thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, I would rather stay angry at the guy that cut me off than to forgive them and let it go.
Okay, that's something simple. What about someone who takes the word? God gave me this word. He wrote the word down, right? This word is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I can believe this word. God doesn't lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does the darkness fit into that?
Well, Satan quoted scripture. Mm-hmm. He's taking it out of context.
But God said it.
Yes.
He said it's mine.
Well, God also said other things. He said it's not.
Well, what makes it not mine?
Selfish desires. And it's a lot of things that can make it not yours.
God doesn't want... Well, gosh, I wish somebody was here.
Well, Jesus was tested in the wilderness, and,
right?
And you know, Satan quoted scripture at him, and Jesus right. quoted reality at back.
Right. But I know somebody will say, I know that this word is mine,
mm-hmm.
because they feel like God gave it to them. This is God's word to me, and I can have this. Where is the darkness in that?
Selfish.
That sounds like a selfish thing.
Okay.
But if God really spoke, if God really spoke a truth to them, then it wouldn't be something like that. It's something they would receive and not have to hang on to.
Very good.
Mm. You know, because
it's annoying, and they don't have to defend him.
Right. Talk about your friend.
Probably.
That's revelation knowledge, you know. Mm-hmm. That's rhema. If God, if you say that that's yours, mm-hmm. if it's rhema from the Lord, mm-hmm. you bet your bottom dollar that you're going to point it back
right.
to Him. You're not going to say mine. That's right. Selfish.
Yeah.
You're going to say this is what He gave to me.
Yeah, this
really
revelation.
Gave to me.
He gave to me, and it's at his, and it...
It's like my car.
It, yeah.
14 years and counting.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
But, you know, it's interesting when it's...
Sorry.
What happens is when we give it back to him, say, I it's like my van, my Jeep. I knew that God was... I could ask for that, Jeep. And when everything came against this, you know, Paul said, there's no way. Don't ever speak to me about this again. I said, okay, that's fine. Okay, but please don't tell me to get rid of this car that I have. I'm not. I'll drive the wheels off of it. The only one I really want is this one, and you said I can't have it. That's okay. I'll just hold on to mine. I let it go completely. If I never got my Jeep, I would have been happy because... That was it. I settled it. And then, 2 years later, one day I was driving down the road. I'll never forget where I was. On the corner of 26th Street and 9th Avenue. Going up under the light. And God said, ask for it now. And I knew, okay, it's time. I asked for it now. I get home. It was either that night or the next night. Paul sitting in the chair, and out of the clear blue sky. Well, there's no reason why you really can't get a used one, maybe.
Used what?
Yeah. Although, the Jeep you were talking about. Oh. Well, that's a thought. I had just seen an ad in the paper for a white one. With red interior, had the adjustable four-wheel drive inside where you don't have to get out and do the lugs. Had everything right there. In about 3 days, I had my vehicle.
Mm.
It was like in my driveway, and I'm walking around going, and see, right at that point, God doesn't do that He doesn't give us things to waste it on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's to teach us something. Right. And right at that point, he spoke to my heart, because I was saying, I was walking around and just blessing the car and thank you, God. And then I was sitting on the back. I had the back end open. I'm sitting there and he says, I can do the same thing with your husband. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice, God. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really wanted him to do that to my husband. You know, just, you know, the same thing. Let him, give him to me, stay out of the way, let me work. No. I couldn't do that.
He's my husband.
He's my
husband. You don't know what he's like, God.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, go.
I gotta go to math.
Matthew 5:14-16.
Okay, what did I do with my pen? Oh, I don't know. It's somewhere here.
14-16.
Yep.
Matthew
5:14-16.
You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the grain measure, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father who is in heaven.
That reminds me of healing. Healing is his good work.
Healing is one of his works.
I mean, it's a good work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so why do I stumble over it sometimes? I mean, I've been fine for 20 years, and mm-hmm. all this time now, it's like, you know, what? It's like he, when I was, go ahead.
Healing could be a good work, but... You know, you have to get sick in order for that good work to be revealed.
Well, not necessarily.
You can be healed without being sick.
No.
You'd be walking in healing.
Walking in health.
You'd be walking in healing, and walking in healing is a little less noticeable than
it's not.
A miraculous healing.
When everybody else is getting the flu and pneumonia and stuff like that,
look at everyone that's getting the flu, not the one person that's not.
This is what... He gave me.
That's where I put the trust in God's mouth. Because every year when the weather changed, I'd get sick. And I used to say, the weather's changing, I'm going to get sick. And every year the weather changed, I get sick. And then we learned about it, Donna taught it. So the next year I thought, well, okay. The weather's changing, I'm not getting sick. The weather's going to change, I'm not going to get sick. And I didn't get sick.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that he gave me. Let me see. Why is it not in here?
Well, I would say that this is, you know, basically saying that as you're living your life and going out and doing, you know, just being yourself and being, you know, allowing God to walk and show himself through you, don't steal his credit. Don't hide. Mm-hmm. Don't go around and you know, do a good deed and say, oh, yeah, you're welcome. You know, that's when you say, you know what, this is God. I'm showing you God through this act. God told me to give you $5 today. You know? That's keeping it from being hidden. So don't hide God's works through that you are going through your life.
Mm-hmm. This is this was on the beginning when I went to May 20th. This is before I went to surgery. The enemy will always challenge my reliant trust in Christ. He will pick on my weakness. Whatever is the weakest in me, the enemy will hit. And the Father God, my husbandman, will allow this to expose my weakness, to reconcile my heart to him. So,
it's just like pruning.
Yes, it's the pruning. And mm-hmm. we think that that it's difficult. Well, God, why'd you bring this on me? You know, because it exposes a weakness where I am not relying on him one-on-one. He is not getting to me in this area. It could be finances. It could be my health.
So this isn't him cutting you off. This is right. him raising you up and right. putting your evil deed in the light.
Right, exactly. Pruning.
Showing you, look at your evil deed.
Yes, well, exactly.
It is your job to prune it and allow God to work through it.
Well, now that he's got you up off the ground, the rain can come, it can wash you off, you right. can get nice and clean, and get lots of fresh air. And...
Right, exactly. And I have to respond to that by doing what's right.
All right, who would like to close this in prayer?